Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week in our studies, we've been looking at how to respond to those who teach that baptism is necessary in order to be saved, or those who say that the purpose of baptism is to receive the forgiveness of sins. Yesterday, we focused on the different meaning of the Greek preposition eis, which is translated for, which the different lexicons or Greek dictionaries supply. In our study today, we're going to continue to look at Acts 2:38 and prove that Peter did not teach that baptism is for the purpose of receiving forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38 reads, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The main issue that needs to be looked at is at the word for, which is a Greek preposition eis, in the phrase for the remission of sins. There's some groups that come along and teach that that means that the word for means for the purpose of receiving forgiveness of sins. And I'd like to refute that today by giving you four principles. First of all, we could look at examples in the New Testament where this preposition eis does not have the meaning purpose. And I think the clearest example is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, which reads, "The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it because," which is the term eis, "they repented at the preaching of Jonah." It's obviously here that the term because does not mean for the purpose of gaining the preaching of Jonah. They had the preaching of Jonah and they repented because of it. So here the term eis obviously does not mean for the purpose of. Even in Thayer's lexicon, he points out that it means at the preaching of one, that is, out of regard to the substance of his preaching. And even just thinking of the word for in our English language, I think a good example is we say, "I'm going to take aspirin for my headache." Now, we're not taking the aspirin so that we could gain a headache. We're taking it because I already have one, and now I'm taking it in reference to my headache. That's pretty clear even in the English language. Now, this is where the dangerous situation rises when someone bases a theology on the English language alone. And I'm not saying that you have to understand Greek in order to understand proper doctrine, because even in English, the word for doesn't always mean for the purpose of obtaining something. But when you are going to challenge the entire church and say, "I have the true doctrine," and then base it simply on the English, that is a dangerous position to hold, and one which has caused many people to err. That's one of the reasons I decided to take Greek classes, so that I wouldn't have to base what I believe on what someone else is saying that may or may not be accurate. So it's a dangerous place to be basing an entire system of theology simply on one English word. So first of all, we have other examples in the New Testament where it's clear that the preposition eis, translated for in Acts 2:38, does not mean for the purpose of gaining something. My second point, I believe it will be absolutely clear that the term to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins does not mean for the purpose of gaining forgiveness, because we're going to see the preposition eis linked with the term baptism and forgiveness in other passage where it'll be absolutely clear that it does not communicate the idea of being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, where John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." And the word unto there is the preposition eis, which is in question. So here, John is not saying, "I baptize you so that you will repent." It's obviously in reference to the fact that these individuals already repented, and the baptism that he was bringing them to was an outward sign that they truly had repented and were preparing their heart for the coming of the Messiah. Now, the interesting point is that this is the exact same grammatical construction that we find in Acts 2:38, translated for the remission of sins. Here, translated for or unto repentance. Now, I need to draw out that Matthew 3:11 is the first passage in the New Testament to use the word baptizo or baptize, which is translated by the preposition eis. And the point is, it's the same grammatical structure in Acts 2:38, yet it's obvious here in Matthew 3:11 that it's not for the purpose of gaining repentance. This is why Tyndale, in his translation, translated, "I baptize you in token of repentance." Now, moving to Mark chapter 1, verse 4, it's even clearer where it actually repeats the exact same phrase, which reads, "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." It's the exact same phrase in Greek, which is eis aphason hamartion, translated for the forgiveness of sins or for the remission of sins. It's the exact equivalent in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So John definitely did not come baptizing in the wilderness so that people could receive forgiveness of sins, because that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this should show you a bias when individuals come to Acts 2:38 and understand it one way, yet the exact same Greek grammatical construction is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, but they don't understand it in the same way. That is showing you one of two things. Either they're ignorant of this passage, or they're not being honest with the New Testament. Also, in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, we find the exact same thing, which again speaks of John the Baptist, which says, "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance." Now here's the phrase, "for the remission of sins." Again, the exact same construction in Mark 1, verse 4, as found in Acts 2, verse 38. Then we also find the same phrase linking baptism and the Greek preposition eis in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in," or eis, "the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And here it's clear that you're not baptized in order to gain the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does "in order to" or "for the purpose of gaining" the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit make any sense here? Obviously it doesn't. Thus, the meaning is in reference to the Trinity, in reference to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we baptize individuals in reference to the Trinity, or under their authority, or all that their name means, or all that they have accomplished in salvation. The last passage which brings this same point out is Mark chapter 1 in verse 9, which says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John," now this phrase, "in the Jordan." Now here, once again, the word "in" is the Greek preposition eis, in the Jordan. No one would come along here and say that Jesus was baptized by John in order that he would gain the Jordan. It's obviously showing that's the place in which he was baptized. So there's not a consistency by those who would teach that baptism in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is for the purpose of gaining remission of sins, where we see in Matthew 3:11, Mark 1, verse 4, Luke 3, verse 3, Matthew 28:19, and Mark 1, verse 9, the same preposition being used, and in some of those references, the exact same phrase being used, but they don't understand those verses the same way they understand Acts 2:38. Again, that's showing a bias, that's showing an inconsistency, that's showing reading theology into the text. That is what is called eisegesis, which means reading into the text rather than exegesis, which means letting the text speak for itself. Now, the third line of evidence, I want to just simply read some of the passages with the time that we have left that link up the preposition eis and baptism. There's at least nine other passages in the New Testament that bring this connection. In Acts chapter 8, verse 16, it reads, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in," or eis, "the name of the Lord Jesus." Here the focus, once again, would be on in reference to the authority of this name, not to attain his name. Acts 19, verse 3 says, "And he said unto them, unto," or eis, "what then were you baptized? And they said, unto," or eis, "John's baptism." So here it's clear that it's in reference to John's baptism, not in order to gain John's baptism. Acts chapter 19, verse 5 says, "When they heard this, they were baptized into," or eis, "the name of the Lord Jesus." Once again, the meaning is clear. Then Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, which reads, "Knowing that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ," or eis, "Jesus Christ," were baptized into, once again, eis, "his death." So we're not baptized in order to attain Jesus Christ or to attain unto his death. We're baptized in reference to the fact that we are identifying ourselves with his death, burial, and resurrection. Also, in Paul's writings, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, he asks the question, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified, or were you baptized in," or eis, "the name of Paul?" Also showing that it's not for the purpose of gaining the name of Paul. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 15 says, "Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in," eis, "my own name." Baptism in Paul's mind obviously did not refer to him, but referred to Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2 says, "And all were baptized into," or eis, "Moses in the cloud and the sea." The Israelites did not obviously attain Moses in the passage, but is a reference to the fact that they were followers of Moses. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, "For by one spirit we're all baptized into," or eis, "one body." The believers identified spiritually with the body of Christ. Then Galatians 3, verse 27 says, "For as many of us as have been baptized into," or eis, "Christ, have put on Christ." Do we literally obtain Christ when we're baptized? Or does it make more sense here in Galatians 3:27 to mean in reference to his death, burial, resurrection, and forgiveness of sins? I would think that's clear in all these references that we've looked at, that it's not saying in order to gain something, but it's in reference to something that's already been accomplished. So I've tried to give you three lines of proof. First of all, that the preposition eis in many other references in the New Testament does not mean for the purpose of. Second of all, we looked at those clear passages that relate the preposition eis with baptism and forgiveness, and none of them communicate the idea for the purpose of gaining forgiveness. Then I read several passages from the book of Acts as well as from Paul's writings where the preposition eis is related to baptism once again, and in none of those places is it communicating the idea of receiving forgiveness of sins. So why should we go to one passage, Acts 2:38, based on the English translation of the preposition and draw a whole theological system on that? That is not appropriate, to say the least. I hope this study has given you some tools in order to be able to refute those that would come along and say that baptism is necessary for salvation. And all this week and many of our studies, I try and deal with technical issues, so that's why I want to recommend to you getting the notes that I've put together in relation to these studies, not only for this one on the aspect of baptism, but for all the studies. On our website, we have the notes that I use to teach these studies. And you can look us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org.